So today we're concluding our series, Keys to 2018. It's our sixth week. And each week we've looked at one item or issue or topic or theme that we will have to do to have a great 2018 in the growth of our faith. We started the year by looking at seeking God. And when you seek God, it leads to surrender in your life. But then oftentimes when you surrender, you end up facing giants that you didn't really want to have to face or weren't prepared to face. But that if you have the faith, you can then go out. We said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And we had those mirrors and we said, we can be the answer. We can be the answer to go out. And then we looked at when you make that decision to be the answer, you are required to give God what you have, whatever that may be. No matter how small you think that is, that we are called to give him that. And then last week on our Super Sunday, we looked at our call to shine, to go out and to be the light of Christ in all that we do. Today, we're going to conclude this series by looking at a word that we're all familiar with, and that's to persevere. So I'll ask that if you'll turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. If you're using one of the Pew Bibles there, that's page 978. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against him from sinners, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. So most of you know, if you don't, one of the qualifications for having the last name Sizemore means you have to love the Olympics. And so this is like one of our favorite times of every 2 years. And so we've been waiting on this since the Summer Olympics ended. And so this week we've celebrated, we've watched, and now we're glued to the television watching events we really don't even fully understand, but still enjoying the moment of the Olympics. I love the Olympics partially because of some of the stories that come out of them. Stories of hard work and dedication from their childhood, and even some of these young athletes, 17, 18 years old, and then some, you know, 38, 39, 40, just all the years and time and effort they put into it to reach this moment. One of my favorite stories that has kind of been brought back up this past Olympic week is the story of Dan Jansen. And he's no longer competing, and that name is probably familiar to a lot of you. He was a speed skater in the 80s and the 90s. He finished fourth in the games in 1984 at 19 years old. Then he came home and he won all sorts of medals on the world stage and on the national stage. And everybody knew he was going to be one of the favorites when they returned to the games. And so they returned to the games in 1988, and he was scheduled to race the same day he found out his sister had died from leukemia. He talked to her hours before and he said, "I will win you a gold medal." And it was the last words he said to his sister. He went out with all that was going on and he fell in his first race. And then in his second race that night, he tripped, leading the race with only one lap to go. Could you imagine that devastation? So overwhelmed with grief, his Olympics are over. He goes back home. He trains even harder. And he comes back in 1992, and he again stumbled and fell in both races and did not medal. Have you ever felt that way? That you've worked really hard for something, but one thing after another kept tripping you up, kept making you fall, kept making you miss that thing that you thought was right outside of your fingertips. That's obviously how Jansen felt, and I know that's how a lot of us have felt before too. But these Olympic athletes, they have to put this behind them, and they have to persevere on so that they can continue to have these opportunities. And so none of us are probably going to be in the Olympics unless we get our curling skills down, because it's the only one that we're athletic enough to participate in. Although I'm sure we would fall on the ice when we tried to sweep. But to persevere says to persist in anything undertaken, to maintain a purpose in spite of difficulty, obstacles, discouragement, and to continue steadfastly. Every athlete, Olympic or not, every Christian has two choices when they face adversity or hard times. You can quit and give in, or you can persevere. And I don't know what's going to happen in your life, in my life, in the life of this church in 2018, but I know at some point we will have to persevere through hard times. Some of you are already having to do that, and it's just February. There was a young lady last night. Her name was Brady, what was it, Tenale? Something like that. Tenale, is that how you pronounce her last name? But she's a figure skater, and she was interviewed last night, and they said, "You look so calm, but your first Olympics out on the ice, what was going through your head?" She said, "Nothing." She said, "Absolutely nothing. I kind of went into autopilot mode and just let my training take over." And at the time, she was ranked first, and she didn't stay there, but she had a great showing for her first Olympic skate. But I thought, wow, her training just took over. Have you ever been in that situation where you don't even realize you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, but it just kind of happens? Do you realize when you train for something, you're training for the moments when it gets hard? Athletes, weightlifters, sprinters, they don't train for the first lift or the first quarter or the first mile. They train for the fourth quarter, the last lift, and the last mile. Because it's in that point where your body wants to begin to stop and shut down that you have to persevere through, and your training just takes over. Your training just takes over. There's a lot of analogies about Olympic-style games in competition within Scripture. Paul uses it several times because he's talking to a context and a culture in which they would understand that. And he says, you know, we have to train properly. Let us not just run like we're beating the air. Let's train in a way that we can persevere through this journey of faith. And so we're going to train, in a sense, this Lent coming up. So I want you to take that sheet of paper, and I want to explain some of them to you and explain the purpose behind this. At the top of that paper there, you'll just see kind of a description of what Ash Wednesday is. I know not everybody grew up in a tradition where you practice Ash Wednesday. That's a brief description. Then there's a brief kind of explanation of what we will do here at Emmanuel. Then if you'll look at the corporate spiritual disciplines for Lent, corporate meaning us as a church body. And then, so what is Lent? That's probably a good question. So then there's a little paragraph that tells you during Lent what kind of Lent is, what the goal is, what the purpose is. We seek to live and love as more faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. These are some things that I'm going to challenge you to do, not as your pastor, but as a disciple of Jesus. My wife and I had a conversation last night. We've made the commitment to do these, not because she's my wife and I'm the pastor, but we're two disciples who desire to grow closer to Jesus. So I want to start with that. This isn't like the principal telling you have to do something. I'm sharing with you what we're doing on our Lent journey. Beginning on Ash Wednesday, on every Wednesday, we will fast. Now, if you cannot fast from food because of a medical condition or something like that, please do not try and hurt yourself. Find something else to fast from. Fasting just means to abstain from something, to give up something. For some of you, it might be harder to fast from social media. For me, it's soft drinks and chocolate. I can do without eating lunch. It's the chocolate and the soft drinks that's really harder for me. You cannot fast from your homework. But what we're going to do is practice what is called a Wesley fast. Wesley knew the demands of traveling. And so what he did is he began fasting the night before, just like he went to the church calendar, not the English or the American calendar. But the biblical day started at night and went to the next morning, went through the night into the morning. And so he said at sundown on Tuesday, he ate his last meal. So he ate supper on Tuesday. I'm going to put it in our context. He woke up and he fasted from breakfast and from lunch, and then he ate his dinner because his fast ended at 3 p.m. or 5 p.m. or when the sun went down. So you're looking at two meals essentially there. If you can't do that, please do not do it and hurt yourself. But if you can do it, try it. If you can't do both of them, try with one. Fasting is not something we talk about in the church anymore, but I promise you personally that I have heard God speak more clearly during my times of fasting than any other time. In those moments where you feel tempted to eat the chocolate, to pick up the cell phone, or to eat, stop, pray, connect to the Spirit. Eventually, your weakness becomes His strength. It's a powerful thing. If you've never done it, try it. Then on Friday, we're going to stop. We're going to have prayer. Now again, the descriptions are there for you. We're set for noon, I think, but if that doesn't fit your work schedule, please don't stop if you're driving down the road. Now you can pray with your eyes open, but don't close your eyes and have a prayer at 12 o'clock just because the preacher said to. I don't want to see you on the news, okay? But find some time. If you can only start with 5 minutes, start with 5 minutes. See if you can grow to 10 or even 15. During that time, pray for each other. Pray for God to reveal things to our church. Pray for your walk with Christ. Then on Sunday, we're going to gather for worship. My favorite. I love gathering with y'all for worship. Try to make coming to church and worshiping a priority during Lent. And let's see what might stir in our hearts and how our worship might change. And then Monday, this is the hardest one for me. Solitude. Carve out some time in your day to sit and be quiet. Now, if you feel led to talk to God, talk to God. But leave time to be quiet and let Him talk to you. That's the hardest one that my professor's pushing me on right now. And so I'm telling you, that's my weakness. So that's why my wife's going to make sure that I'm doing it. And I've got one other person that's going to make sure I'm doing it because that's the hardest one for me. But it's oftentimes where God can work through the stillness of our hearts and grab our attention. On the back, there's some descriptions of what a fast is. And I'm not going to go through that with you. I'm going to trust you to just kind of look through that. Use your judgment. Do not get so tied up in what we're doing that we forget why we're doing it. The purpose is to grow as disciples. Make that fit into your schedule. If that day does not work for you, move it to another day. If 5 minutes doesn't work, do three. Don't get wrapped up in legalistic with this. But let's see. I invite you to join me on this journey. To join us on this journey. I can speak for the two of us. In 1986, a decision was made to split the Summer and Winter Olympics into separate years, beginning with the Winter Olympics in 1994. So Dan Jansen comes back on the scene, and he's taking the Olympic ice for the last time. He had success throughout all these world events, but he could not medal in the Olympics. He said that he did not feel right when he took the ice, that something was wrong with one of his blades and one of his legs was aching. But he told himself, in a short amount of time, your Olympic career will be over and you'll never have to worry about failing again. There was a small slip early on. And everybody knew, here we go again. But as he crossed the finish line, setting a world record, he saluted his sister, letting her know that he had fulfilled the promise to win her a gold medal. And he took that podium that day, and those of you that watched it, it was just an emotional time. It was one of those things that everybody was pulling for him. But what a great story of perseverance, of never giving up. What an amazing reminder to us that if we'll keep our eyes on the prize, and our prize is not a gold medal. Our prize is not even heaven. Some of you just looked at me really funny. Church, our prize is living in the abundant life that Jesus called us to today. That each and every day, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we can live heaven on this earth until we're called to the other. The problem is, when life storms come and rainy days happen, we place our hope and our faith and our trust and all these other things. Things start going well, and we take our eyes off of Jesus. And we start placing them in people, in our own abilities. And then those hard times come, and we want to know where God is. And the truth is, he hasn't moved. We just have to turn our eyes and fix them back on Jesus Christ. That's our goal this Lent, that we'll throw off everything that's slowing us down, that we'll fix our eyes back on the Savior, that our focus will become him and him alone again. Let's pray.